What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's the start of a brand new week, Monday, March 21st, 2011. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Bill is in the control room today, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble and answering the phone when you call in to share your commentary on the air. A lot of stuff to talk about. Obviously, first and foremost, welcome to World War III. The cruise missiles and B-2s are going into Libya there, ostensibly on behalf of the Libyan people. That's utter nonsense, of course. If our government had really cared about the Libyan people, they would have pulled the plug when Israel was sending in those 50,000 mercenaries a couple of weeks back. But instead, they basically let the mercenaries go in, kill most of the freedom fighters. Now they turn and double-cross Gaddafi, and they're sending in the B-2s and the cruise missiles, and they're just pounding away. And basically, this means we now have military engagements on two continents, Africa and Asia. And that makes it officially a world war in U.S. military doctrine. The two-front war, the world war, there we are, it's here and now. And, you know, basically the situation is, you know, British Petroleum's already announced they're ready to drill. They're going to start drilling oil wells off the Libya coast next week. They're ready to go. It's all about grabbing the oil. And the reason this is of concern, remember the very reckless drilling they were doing down in the Gulf of Mexico that led to the Deepwater Horizon disaster? Minerals Management Service was looking the other way. They were spending time with hookers and pornography and drugs and everything, and everybody was just rushing to get these deep oil wells drilled and producing as quickly as possible, because that was the oil that was going to be used to cover the shortfall that's expected when Iran is invaded. And so now, the U.S. has invaded Libya. They've gone after Gaddafi again, missed him. Last time they did that, they killed his daughter. And BP is already out there getting ready to drill. You know, China's probably feeling very much cut off because they had contracts to drill in Libya. Nobody knows if they'll be honored by the new American puppet regime that's being put in there. But it's now expected that the oil from Libya is going to be used to cover the shortfalls that are going to result from the attack on Iran. So it looks like the war in Iran is going on. Russia and China are already stepping up there and saying, look, this is a mistake. You cannot push any harder and any further. So we're at the beginning of World War III, despite our best efforts to stop it. At the very least, though, we can deny the illusion of a moral high ground to our government and to all the governments who are involved in this utter, utter lunacy. Now, one more little aspect. In the rush to demonize Muammar Gaddafi, and I'm not saying he's a great guy or anything like that, I think he's a jerk, but he does have his good points. Just like Hitler did come up with a couple of good ideas, like the Volkswagen, okay, Gaddafi has built the largest aquifer, aqueduct, reservoir, irrigation system in the world. It's called the Great Man-Made River. You can see it from space. It's huge, and it represents one of the largest freshwater resources on planet Earth. Now, I wonder who in the Middle East is desperate to steal other countries' water right now, and if that might have been a motive. In addition to murdering other people for oil, are we now starting to murder other people to get their fresh water? Because we know fresh water is in short supply. We know you can make fresh water with desalinization plants, but it's expensive. Might be just cheaper to go in, kill all the Libyans, and take their fresh water supplies for their foreseeable future. So there's a lot of water on the line along with the oil, and don't ever for a second think that this has anything to do with the revolution in Libya, because if keeping Libya free from Gaddafi had been the goal, then Israel would not have been allowed to send in those 50,000 mercenaries that basically brought the revolution to the edge of collapse so that the U.S. could say, we're coming in to save you, here we come to save the day, da, da. And President Pussy's in there proving how butch he is by dropping cruise missiles at $1 million a pop all over Libya's air defense system. We got to take a break. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663.
America, welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the attack on Libya, which officially makes it a new world war. We're at war on two continents, Africa and Asia. And it's a very, you know, it's a very, very ugly situation. It's, again, it's all about greed. It's about oil. It's about fresh water supplies. It's about making Israel happy again. And it's about a distraction. Our government is desperate for distractions from the reactor meltdown. Oh, everybody's looking west at those melting down reactors. Quick, start a war to the east to get them looking the other way. Remember when the Marine barracks in Beirut blew up? 24 hours later, they invaded Grenada. And then we had the situation where Monica Lewinsky, during the Clinton administration, Monica Lewinsky testified to Congress, and then she came out expecting a press conference that everybody was gone because Bill Clinton had launched cruise missiles against an aspirin factory in Sudan. And you not only got to pay for the cruise missiles, you got to pay to rebuild the aspirin factory when they sued. Speaking of cruise missiles, somebody in the chat room pointed out that $1 million a pop price tag on the cruise missiles, that's in 2003 dollars, with the old-style cruise missiles that they were using against Saddam Hussein's. Well, we thought, we were told he had nuclear weapons. It turned out we were just blowing up big chunks of desert. So the cruise missiles are probably costing a heck of a lot more right now, and you get to pay for all of it. They sent in something like 116 cruise missiles. We're getting reports that hospitals got blown up. We must not have done much damage to Libya's air defense infrastructure because they shot down three French warplanes that we're attacking. So I don't know how well this thing is going. Maybe another quagmire. Vladimir Putin over in Russia is basically declaring this a new medieval crusade. You know, we're going after the Krizlums, or Christians are bashing the Muslims and all the rest of that stuff. And he's absolutely right. There's no reason for us to be at war in Libya. Had everybody stayed out of this mess, Israel, then the Libyan people would have taken care of matters themselves. That's democracy. The will of the people, not the will of some country coming in from the outside and taking advantage of the turmoil for their own greedy needs. And here we are, we're at the start of a new world war, as I have been warning was going to be the case, because every time the United States government and the private central bankers get into trouble financially, they get out of it with a world war. Got out of the crash of 1907 by getting into World War I. Got out of the crash in 1929 by getting into World War II. Here we are in the throes of the crash of 2007. And by golly, right on cue, here comes your world war. Just absolutely disgusted about this thing. And we could very well wind up at war with Russia and China over this whole situation. I don't think it's worth it. Meanwhile, the United States is trying to maintain the moral high ground and saying, well, you know, we're not going to target Gaddafi personally. Then they proceeded to do exactly that. Apparently, a whole bunch of missiles hit his personal living compound, missed him, killed a lot of other people. And again, this is a repeat of when Reagan bombed Libya after being tricked into it by the Mossad. And they send in the bombers to bomb Gaddafi's sleeping quarters, missed him, killed his five-year-old daughter. So that's two strikes. And it's a very, very ugly situation, and the Libyan people are saying, we don't want anybody in here. We don't want the Israeli mercenaries in here. We don't want the Americans. We don't want the French. We don't want the British. We want to take care of our own country, and the U.S. is out there saying, oh, no, 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 we are in charge of the world, and we will decide what governments you get and how your revolutions are fought and which side will win. You know, and it's a rather amazing. Our government really can't take care of our own country. That's why they're going around the world meddling in all these other countries to try and look important. They can't fix the problems here at home. And they need an excuse. Oh, we're sorry the roads are falling apart, and we're sorry the, you know, the water is, like, you know, not healthy to drink or anything like that. But, you know, we're busy. We've got to fight, you know, we've got to fight the communists over, I mean, the Muslims over in Libya. Who are we fighting this week? Whoever we're supposed to be fighting, that's what we're supposed to be doing, and we're too busy doing that to take care of the United States of America. Which brings us to the ongoing saga of the Fukushima disaster. And it is rather amazing to see everybody in the government and the media just trying to say, oh, there's nothing there, there's nothing there, it's harmless. It's re-. You know, these are the same people who only a few months ago were telling us that a single terrorist with a bomb contaminated with radioactive waste could destroy an entire American city. And these are the same people who are telling us right now that four shattered, melted down reactors are not a problem. Not a problem. It's raining along the west coast right now. Actually, it's raining here right now, as a matter of fact, here on the island of Oahu. And the rainwater is, of course, washing radioisotopes out of the air, and they are detecting iodine, tellurium, and cesium in California. And they're detecting it at Berkeley in the rainwater. I have a rainwater precipitate trap set up myself. I'm going to be running some tests on. Our own radiation meter here today is showing a definite uptrend. We're still in safe territory. We're still considered safe levels of radioactivity, but it's definitely trending up over the last 2 days here. Meanwhile, efforts to get the reactors under control have been hampered. There was a new burst of strangely colored smoke coming out of one of the reactors. The Japanese workers basically had to withdraw again and watch and sort of figure, gee, I wonder what that is. It's going up into the atmosphere. They finally started getting electricity to the site on the cables and then discovered that the crucial machinery that they needed the electricity for is not working. So they've been rushing to get power in there to get this cooling system running, and the cooling system won't run. They're not saying exactly what's going on with that. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. There's kind of a new dimension starting to emerge from this thing. Now, I know on the TV and the radio and the newspapers are telling it's no big deal, it's harmless, it's nothing to think about, but the United States government is now evacuating 200,000 4,000 U.S. personnel from Japan to the United States West Coast. It's a large number. The USO is setting up emergency housing at SeaTac and various other places, collection points. People are coming in. They're being basically put up in these tents until they can find new places to go to back here in the United States of America, presumably with family. We know that Japanese are leaving Tokyo. They're arriving here in the United States and setting off radiation meters at Dallas-Fort Worth and O'Hare Airport. When they go to places like Russia and Korea, they are required to go through a decontamination procedure at the airport before they're even allowed out into the general population. The U.S. State Department has started handing out potassium iodide tablets to all of their workers in Japan. And, of course, we know here in the United States, it's almost impossible. If you do not have your potassium iodide right now, good luck getting it. What I am hearing from the pharmacies here on the island of Oahu is that the U.S. government is very quietly grabbing all the supplies of potassium iodide they can, ostensibly to send to Japan, which may be where the U.S. State Department got their supply. But basically, the government is grabbing it. They're grabbing the goodies for themselves and telling you nothing to worry about. It's just go back to working and breeding us soldiers. The World Health Organization, though, has stepped up and said that the contamination of food in Japan, the situation is serious. And China and South Korea are now starting to automatically test all food coming from Japan for radioactivity. We know that the government of Japan has started basically shutting down farms and dairy processors in three of the prefectures around the radiation disaster and say, you can't sell the stuff. And nobody is talking about the runoff, all the fire hoses, the salt water they poured into these reactors. And now, of course, it's actually raining at the site, and all of that contaminated water is just flowing right back into the Pacific Ocean. Nobody's talking about that, about where that radioactivity is going and what it's doing to the largest single ocean and its food supplies in the world. All righty. Now, let's see. We've got a caller on the line. Dee in Minnesota. Aloha, Dee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Looks like we're in World War III now.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you think they'll actually win in Libya, or do you think it's just going to go bad?
I think the United States of America cannot win the wars that it's already in, let alone getting into any more. We don't have boots on the ground. I know Rangel's out there talking about a new draft. I don't think the American people are going to sit still for that, because there is no illusion of moral rightness to any of these wars. And I think the American people have just about had it with all of this sending off of our young kids to die on the other side of the planet for the glory of oil and fresh water and Israel.
Well, this whole thing, I mean, with Libya just stinks, because 3 weeks ago we find out, that Israel, their company, was sending these mercenaries in, so it looked like we weren't going to invade or bomb Libya. The whole thing just stinks to high heaven. It
really does. I think what happened is the United States really doesn't care who's in charge of Libya as long as they have access to the oil. And I think what they basically did is a nudge-nudge, wink-wink with Israel, and they said, we're going to give you a couple of weeks to see if you can put this revolution down. If you can't, for the sake of appearances, we're going to have to come in and act like we're there on the side of freedom and democracy, and we're going to have to take your puppet out and put another puppet in there, but it's still going to be cool because you'll get the oil and the water, and, you know, we'll get to slap around some more of the Muslims. And I think that's kind of what happened.
Because it just didn't look right to me to see.
Oh, everybody around the world was commenting that the United States, you know, for all of its talk about freedom and democracy and as justifications for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and here you had freedom and democracy on the line in Libya, and the U.S. was pointedly doing nothing while Israel was sending in mercenaries to murder the Libyan people. And we saw the videos of these mercenaries just kicking down doors and machine gunning families in their own homes. And, you know, campaign of terror. And I think it reached
the
point where the United States government...
Two more points, Mike. I had another question about something.
Okay, well, we're going to have to take a break here. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we seem to be getting some more of our problems with Roadrunner cutting in and out. So bear with us while we try and deal with some of these technical issues that seem to be cropping up more and more. All right, getting back to the reactor situation in Fukushima and a couple of other places, apparently. A little odd note here. Do you want to know who was the very first organized group to get humanitarian aid into the reactor area? Everybody's trying to take claim. We were the first. We were there. We were there. The Yakuza. I'm not kidding you. The Yakuza got like 70 trucks full of stuff. Just showed up, handing it out. Food, water, blankets, baby formula, everything. Just put it in there. Sort of paints those guys in a little bit of a different light, doesn't it? You know, yes, it's organized crime, and they recognize the organized crime. They do have a code of honor. And my first wife, Broadzilla, who was very much involved in the drug trade, used to tell me that down in South America, the reason the drug lords are so difficult to get at is, you know, they use the wealth that they get to improve the lives of the community around them. And, you know, you have drug lords are building the schools and hospitals that the government cannot. And that's why they have all this support. And here you have, you know, the Yakuza, and they're the first ones on the ground with humanitarian aid. good for you guys. Gonna have to rethink my opinion about you. All right. Now, interestingly enough, over the weekend, looking at the radiation monitors in Japan, something very odd happened at a prefecture called Ibaraki, which is about 83 miles to the south of the Fukushima nuclear power complex. Over the weekend, over the space of about 12 hours, the radiation levels tripled. Now, there's no real-time data coming out of Fukushima Prefecture itself or the Miyagi Prefecture north of that. So we don't really know. Is this a cloud of radioactivity that just came down the coast and just zapped this town? Maybe, but maybe not. It turns out there's another nuclear power station right there in Ibaraki called the Tokai Nuclear Power Station. It was Japan's first nuclear power station. The original reactor has been shut down, decommissioned. They got the turbine on display in the parking lot. But they still have a working reactor there. Now, back on March 13th, it was acknowledged that one of the two cooling pumps at that Tokai reactor had been damaged and shut down during the quake and tsunami. No news out of there ever since. But apparently over the weekend, they had an earthquake right underneath that area. And then we saw this radiation spike. No news, complete blackout. I have to wonder, is it possible? I mean, if you think about it, they're both nuclear power stations. They're both right on the coastline. They both got hit with the quake and the tsunami. What are the chances that only Fukushima suffered this degree of damage? Or are there other reactors also damaged that are just not being talked about in order for Japan to save face and in order to protect the nuclear power industry? But it seems unlikely that the radiation spike that we saw is from Fukushima. And again, we don't know. We know there's been a problem there. We know that the Tokai reactor has had a prior criticality incident where it went supercritical for almost like 20 hours before they got it back under control. So this is a reactor with a prior history of issues. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, I started speculating on this over the weekend, and it picked up off my website, went all around the world, but it is worth talking about. We know that there is this computer worm called Stuxnet that was originally created apparently by the United States and Israel specifically to destroy the nuclear power station being built in Iran. And it did it by targeting these Siemens programmable controller systems, which are standard for power plants and industrial facilities all over the world. It's like this. It's like the normal thing that everybody's going to use. It's the de facto controller. Very rugged, very dependable. Everybody knows about it, and it's controlled by software. And this Stuxnet worm was intended to get into these Siemens control systems and mess them up. We know they got into the power plant at Iran. We know this thing got wild. It broke away from its intended target. It went all over China, caused all kinds of damage to computers around the world, caused all kinds of damage to industrial plants that are using these Siemens controllers. We know it is established that Stuxnet was found in Japan, in Japanese computer systems, last October. And we know that the Fukushima power plant uses those Siemens controllers that the Stuxnet was designed to target and interfere with. Now, I don't have a smoking gun that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Stuxnet was at Fukushima, although others have said that they do know for a fact that that was true. But we certainly cannot rule it out there. Now, the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency only last month was warning that Stuxnet posed a threat to all nuclear power stations around the world. And so now we go back and we look at the reason Fukushima is melting down. There are automated systems to shut the reactors down in the event of quake and tsunami. And some of them didn't work. And now we're finding out that the cooling system they're trying to get electricity to is also not working correctly. Valves won't open, pumps won't start. This is exactly what Stuxnet causes with these controllers. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org for our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy. We urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. So we're talking about the Fukushima power station and the incredible difficulty that the people working at the station have had dealing with this emergency, even with systems that are designed to operate automatically when there is a quake or a tsunami. And all of a sudden, the extreme difficulty they're having takes on a whole new dark dimension. Now, I want to emphasize, I personally have no proof that Stuxnet succeeded in penetrating the Fukushima power station. If it had, it's not something anybody would announce. But we obviously cannot rule it out. I mean, look how much money you and I and our businesses spend every year to keep just the spam mailer bots out of our system, and yet it's still a huge, huge problem for everybody. $7 billion a year it costs to deal with this computer malware. And we know that the United States and Israel have the varsity teams for cybernetic nastiness, and they built this thing. Stuxnet is a weapon of war. It is designed to go out and destroy nuclear power stations. And it got away from Iran. It went through China, Asia. We can confirm Stuxnet in Japan last October. And this may be why the head of the IAEA was saying Stuxnet is a threat to all nuclear power stations everywhere. So we cannot rule out the possibility that Stuxnet had infected some of the Siemens controllers at Fukushima, complicating efforts to get the reactor under control. Because if all the systems at Fukushima had worked as intended, as designed, all six of the reactors would have shut down, and we would not be in as dire a circumstance that we are in right now. So we need to know, why did three of those reactors fail to have the safety systems operate correctly? This might actually let General Electric off the hook if it turns out that Stuxnet was involved. Now, whether or not Stuxnet actually compromised recovery efforts at the Fukushima reactor is an important issue, but it's not the main one. It's that in creating and deploying this cyber weapon, the United States government and the government of Israel made a conscious decision to risk inflicting meltdowns all over the world, including Iran, just to shut down Iran's power station. I can't imagine any more recklessness or utter disregard for the lives of people around the world than to deliberately release a weapon that, if it works, can bring about destruction of nuclear power systems exactly like we're seeing at Fukushima right now. So I want to share something with you. Right now, all over Japan, and right now here in Hawaii, and right now on the west coast of the United States, people are going to bed every night, and they're lying in their bed, and they're wondering, is the air I'm breathing carrying invisible death? Yeah, the media is saying, oh, it's less radiation than you get from an x-ray. But the difference is an x-ray is over after just a second. If you breathe in one of these radioisotopes, the cesium, the strontium, the iodine, the tellurium, the americium, if you breathe any of those in, they stay in your body and you're being radiated continuously. TV is trying to tell you that radiation is like electricity. Yeah, a 1,000-volt shock will kill you, but a 5-volt shock won't hurt you. It's completely harmless. Radiation doesn't work that way. Because radiation, low-level radiation, it might not kill you today, but if it's sitting in your body and putting out energy hour after hour, day after day, week after week, year after year, you will get cancer. You will get leukemia. You will get your children will be born hideously deformed. We've seen that all around the Chernobyl area. Everybody's denying it has anything to do with it. Oh, they're sinners. God is punishing them, or whatever the else crap you get from the people who are still trying to protect the nuclear power industry. But all over Japan and all over the western United States and all over, well, Alaska, Canada, here in Hawaii, people are going to bed at night wondering, is that next breath I take going to be the one that condemns me to cancer? Is it going to be the breath that condemns my children to hideous birth deformities? That's a lot of terror to live with time after time after time after time. And it's one thing to have to live with that unending fear and terror through accident. But when you realize that there is a government on planet Earth that is perfectly willing to put entire nations of people through that kind of terror deliberately, it's a whole different story, because that's exactly what Israel did to the people of Iraq when they bombed the power station at Osirik. All those people in Iraq had to go to bed for months afterwards wondering if there was radiation in the air, if there was a silent killer coming into their homes on the evening breeze. And then Israel did it again with Syria. And now we're beginning to wonder, did the United States and Israel, admittedly inadvertently, but did they, by deploying this weapon against Iran's power station, contribute to the destruction of the power station at Fukushima? Because if they did, it means they intended for people to go to sleep every night trying hard not to breathe or breathe as shallow as possible, because they don't know what's in their home with them that very moment. Are they sleeping with the killer? Are they showering with the killer? Is the killer all over their food? Apparently that's a yes right now, at least in some parts of Japan. So you just imagine the kind of government that can do that to a nation of people who've never done them any wrong whatsoever. And you begin to understand that there really are monsters walking around this planet in human form. It's just amazing here. If it is confirmed, and I understand now that some people in Japan read my article, and they're starting to ask questions, and they're going to try and recover some of those controllers and look at them. If it is confirmed that Stuxnet is indeed in those controllers at Fukushima. I am hoping that we will get some laws passed that will make computer hacking, all computer hacking, an act of terrorism and a death penalty crime. And that'll make life easier for a lot of us, except for those people running the protection racket. You know, you buy protection for your computer or something bad going to happen to you. They're going to have to go out of business. But for the rest of us, things would be a little bit better here. Now, the foreign press is having a field day with Ann Coulter. As you know, late last week, she came on Fox News and said, radiation's good for you. It'll make cancer go away. And immediately, a lot of people were saying, okay, Ann, head for Japan. Alex Jones is taking up a collection to buy a plane ticket for her. And I actually have this old shovel that I'm willing to donate so that Ann Coulter can go over there and dig out the radioactive slag so that she'll be free from cancer for the rest of her life. And it's an absolutely idiotic comment that Ann Coulter made, but it underscores the absolute panic and desperation of the American media and the government to try and trivialize and downplay this whole incident. And I want to share an analogy with you, because we're seeing all over the internet, in the blogs and on the chat rooms of the various media websites, we're seeing the very, very massive public relations campaign. People come in and say, oh, you're just fear-mongering. You don't know anything about it. It's nonsense. It's da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, I'm going to give you a little guideline how you can spot the paid public relations propagandists who are running all over the web trying to basically get everybody to shut up about this stuff. And I call it the pizza and taco analogy. Let's imagine that you've got on Main Street of your town, on one side of the street, you've got a pizza parlor, and on the other side, you've got a taco place. And the people who love pizzas will go into the pizza place every night, and they'll have pizzas, and they'll try different pizzas, and they'll talk about pizzas, and they'll have a really good time. And they're very social about it. And on the other side of the street, you have people who like tacos, and they go in, they have tacos, and they talk about tacos, and they're friends with their fellow taco lovers. Okay? Makes sense. Now, what happens if you're sitting in the pizza parlor, and all of a sudden somebody starts coming in and says, you pizza eaters are all idiots. Tacos are really so much better. Does that sound like an ordinary citizen who's just, you know, following his own lead, or does it sound like somebody who's paid by the taco company to come in and try and disrupt the pizza parlor and lure business over to the taco? I mean, if you're a taco lover, you go eat tacos with your fellow taco lovers. You don't go run around to the pizza parlors hurling insults at people. It's not normal. So if you have a website like whatreallyhappened.com that is concerned about the already escalating radiation counts, and you see people coming in there saying, oh, you're just full of it. You're nonsense and whatnot. Does it make sense that they're there just on their own recognizance? Of course not. They're hired to be there. All of the major public relations firms offer this as a service. If somebody is saying bad things about your company, Hill & Knowlton, for example, one of the examples, will hire hundreds of people. They literally go out on Craigslist and they recruit actors to say, you know, be a caller into this or that radio show, or go out and you probably have seen these ads coming through the junk email, you know, make money surfing the web. These are where they get the people to go out and hunt down problem articles about their clients and then post rebuttals to them. It's a paid job. These people are making minimum wage to go out and basically scream insults at anybody who's standing up expressing concern about the radiation at Fukushima, the inadvisability of a new war in Libya, and on and on and on and on. And so that's absolutely what's going on out there. And Ann Coulter is just the most extreme example of that. Meanwhile, we're seeing other signs of the cover-up and deception over at Wikipedia. They have deleted all of their copies of the cutaway diagram of the General Electric design reactor at use in Fukushima, including showing where the spent fuel rod storage pool is. All right, we're going to go to the phones. Jack Rabbit in Virginia. Aloha, Jack. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Jack, are you there? Okay, I guess we lost him. Moving right along here. Now, we are already hearing more and more people talking about the need to bury the entire nuclear plant, just, you know, write it off. We've got that, the Asian scientist, he's all over the American media, he's the new Carl Sagan I'm blanking on his name, but, you know, white hair, very good-looking gentleman. He's always talking about it. Was on CNN this morning. And he's going on and on about entombment of the... Okay, Michio Kaku, that's his name. Famous physicist Michio Kaku says it's time to call out the Japanese Air Force to entomb the quake-damaged reactor. And frankly, with all due respect to his work, even though he's a big banger, he's grandstanding. This is a chance for him to get his face on CNN. Wouldn't we all love that? And he's out there saying, we should do what we did in Chernobyl. And it sounds good, and probably I think they are going to do that just because they need to look like they're doing something. Okay, but first of all, Chernobyl didn't work. The entombment there didn't work. It's still leaking radioactivity. They're talking about having to build this gigantic land-crawling machine, this scaffold on wheels or tank treads, that they're going to build it like a mile away from Chernobyl, and then they're going to just have it roll on over to drop yet another layer of radioactive shielding all over this thing. So entombment didn't work at Chernobyl. And there's one other factor. There's one other factor here. Fukushima, and for that matter Tokai, are built right on the coastline. They're right next to the ocean. They're mere feet above the water table. There's no amount of entombment that you can put over those reactor complexes that is going to seal the underneath. And when you're talking about these very hot radioactive materials, these slag, these burn through, they're basically going to keep on sinking. They're very, very dense materials. They're going to keep on sinking until they hit the water table. Then they're going to leach through the soil, and they're going to basically start having these plumes of radioactive material emerging off the coastline on the ocean floor from thence into the ocean currents. It's not going to work. They're going to do it anyway just to look good, but it's not going to control the problem. It didn't work in Chernobyl. It didn't work here. I don't know what they're going to do. This one just really, they've really messed it up this time. Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, aloha. I've been surfing your website over the weekend and very concerned about the situation, like I imagine everybody that's listening to your show. And the video that you had of the cover-up on Chernobyl was an amazing video of all the thousands and thousands of young lives that went in there to try to clean up the mess. And a lot of them died within days after being
exposed. Same thing's
going
to happen to those Japanese workers. Same thing's going to happen to them. They're sacrificing their lives for their fellow countrymen. They are all heroes, but it shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be necessary to spend the lives of these people to make up for some very short-sighted corporate and government policy.
I agree. And they've had the double whammy of having extreme earthquakes and the tsunamis on top of it, and everybody's going to go into shock after being put through that, let alone this on top of everything else. But I hope our colleges, MIT and everybody else, is trying to get the best minds together to put their heads together and come up with a better idea, knowing all the factors like you just indicated. You're right next to the Pacific Ocean. You've got all these factors, and we need the best minds to come together and work together, because as Chernobyl, they indicated, they were trying to protect the world because of all the plumes that were floating in the air and how it was contaminating, and then that was the part of the... It was amazing how they cared. At that time, I didn't think too much of Russia, but knowing all the things that they put in, even though they did cover it all up, they cared enough to try
to... Well, actually, they didn't. They weren't able to. They tried to initially. That's what sort of started the process by which the USSR collapsed. But remember, Mikhail Gorbachev, one of the reasons he's so popular around the world is he's the guy who stood up and said, look, we can't lie about this. You know, this is endangering everybody. We have to deal with this thing. Where this is beyond national reputation and image and prestige. We're talking about millions of lives on the line all over Europe and Asia. We've got to deal with this thing. And that was the reason why he became as popular as he did, is everybody recognized that at a time when lying was still considered service to the Soviet state, he stood up and said, we got to deal with this in the truth. We've got to handle it. We've got to be mature adults about this. We have to be citizens of planet Earth.
Well, if the American and Israel had something to do with the Stuxnet, heads need to roll. They need to burn, and you know where. And but putting all that aside, Israel has a lot of intelligent people, and so does America, and they just need to all come together for the whole good of this world.
It would be nice, but unfortunately the people writing the checks are more concerned with preserving the existing nuclear power industry, preserving General Electric. MIT is already basically on record as saying it's no big deal, nuclear power is safe, go on doing things the way you've been doing them all along. I think the reality is they can't do a thing about it. They're just trying to avoid a panic. And that's about all they can do. And, you know, and if anything, you know, the timing of the Libya invasion may have been done for no other reason than to give the media something to talk about besides the reactor. We got to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're in our last segment of hour number one. My, how time flies when you're radioactive. And for those of you listening on WWCR Shortwave Radio, if you want to hear hour number two of our show, please set your browsers to republicbroadcasting.org, and you'll be able to hear us go on. We are going to talk about other things in hour two. We've got stuff about the economy, about Bernard von Nothaus and his arrest and conviction. That's a very, very ugly situation. And a lot of other stuff to talk about. Meanwhile, Clayton in Austin. Aloha, Clayton. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Hey, I think your Stuxnet virus hypothesis is really, really, I've been thinking about it a little more. It's my understanding, I have to go back and look, that when all this first happened, that the emergency power was working at the plant, and they did have emergency power. What's amazed me about all this is that if it was just a power issue, there's a hospital right down the street from me that has a huge generator in the back of it that can power that entire hospital for, I think, 12, 18 hours before you have to refill it with diesel. Why weren't these generators brought in to keep it going unless they have the power, but they could not get the valves to turn, and it already was starting to melt down from the get-go?
You're absolutely correct. There were diesel generators on site. The official story is they were knocked out by the water that got past the seawall from the tsunami, which is why I was saying earlier the smart thing would have been to put those generators up on a high hill. But we may be looking at a situation. Japan may not be aware of exactly why things weren't working. They're trying to clean up the mess. They're not going to go in there and start doing a forensic analysis. But at some point, I hope somebody starts salvaging some of these Siemens controllers and starts looking in their memory. Because if that Stuxnet is there, it puts a whole different dimension on this utter disaster. And like I said, I'd like to see computer hacking made a capital offense, because the damage that a single hacker can do, especially in a circumstance like this, justifies a death penalty.
Sure, and it may be, as some of this hopefully will start to come out, that, when the power was starting to wane at that plant and there was no call for these big portable generators, I can airlift them, helicopter them in and drop them right on site.
No, that's not accurate. I mean, the call went out for the generators, but, I mean, remember, Japan had just been hit by the biggest quake in history and a tsunami. The resources were in disarray. They tried to get as much there as quickly as they could. But Fukushima's 90 miles up north of Tokyo, and it's not like they had a lot of stuff there, and they're trying to deal not just with Fukushima. We know now that Tokai was having problems, probably something like 15 out of 23 reactors shut down in Japan. Nobody had electricity, communications were out. I think we have to cut the Japanese a little bit of slack on this thing. But we need to go back to the issue that the automated systems that were supposed to work failed to work in some circumstances. We need to ask the question, had Stuxnet infected Fukushima, and was that the reason why these emergency systems failed to operate correctly?
And it could be, even if it's just 48 hours or 72 hours, let's say, to get something there. But as far as I know from what the research I've done, nothing was brought in. And maybe they already knew at that point they could not get control of the valves, maybe.
I disagree. They were bringing in fire trucks. They were trying to bring in generators. But the kind of power those emergency cooling systems takes is really huge. It's not like there's a generator that can be carried on a truck or even airlifted that's going to provide that kind of power. I mean, the cooling systems are really, really massive, and they take a lot of power to operate there. So I think we have to cut the Japanese a little bit of slack here, okay?
Sure. No, thank you.
All right. All right, thanks an awful lot, Clayton. We're going to let you go. We're basically at the end of hour number one. We're going to take a break for station identification and come on back for hour number two. We're going to be talking about the new oil slick that is down in the Gulf of Mexico. Looks like that's blown a leak. And then we're going to be talking about Bernard von Nothaus and various other things like that. We'll be right back after station break.